King James Bible this morning, open up to Galatians chapter 5. We'll be reading in verse 16 here in a minute. This morning, I'd like to kind of deal with the flesh, something that we have to deal with, obviously, on a 24/7 basis, whether we're sleeping, whether we're awake. When you're sleeping, you're dealing with the physical side of the flesh, the pain. You have medical issues, you have the aches and body pains. But then we also, when we're awake, we deal with those as well. But then we deal with the spiritual aspect of our flesh. And we're going to look at those this morning. The believers, we have what we kind of call the unholy trinity that we have to deal with. We have to deal with the world, the devil, and our flesh. That's kind of the three big things we have to deal with, talking about spiritually in the negative sense. The world we have to deal with when we go to work, you go to school, you go off to college, whatever it may be, you have to deal with them on a daily basis. I know Brother Allen, you know, you deal with people all the time, you try to witness to them, run into issues, run into arguments. That's part of the world. Another part of the world that we have to deal with, not only is dealing with the people of the world, but we deal with the ideology, the thought process of the world. We look at it, and obviously we see that how can they think these things, you know, how they, you know, don't have gay marriage, so-called, and they're okay for aborting fetuses and selling body parts, things like that. That's the world. And we look at their system, we look at their style of how they do things, it just doesn't make any sense. It's because we know, obviously, the truth, and they know the truth, but they seemingly run from it. They're still in the darkness part. They might have seen some of the light, somebody might have witnessed to them, or they, you know, we go off of Romans chapter 1, thought of they can obviously see the things around them and the witness that God has around us, the things he's made. But also we deal with the devil, speaks of Satan. He cries out, he tries to kind of draw us into the world even after we're saved. But we can obviously fall after saved. But the third thing we have to deal with is the flesh. And we have to deal with that every morning we wake up, we get ready for the day. We have to fight. Do we pray? Do we get up and read our Bible? What do we do? And so we're going to look at some of those things this morning. The understanding of the problems of our flesh, John chapter 3, right before when Jesus was talking to Nicodemus, verse 6, it says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. So we can see there that when Jesus was talking to Nicodemus, he was trying to illustrate to him that there's two different parts of that which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. And so understanding the problems of the flesh is that when we look at the root nature of our flesh, we go back to the Garden of Eden, and we see how sin nature started. Of course, before they sinned, they lived in paradise. They lived in the Garden of Eden. They had everything about around them that they needed, but they chose to do one thing. Well, she was tempted and tempted Adam, and so we had to follow the human race there in the garden. And so we think about the condition that exists. The condition that exists in our flesh is that we're unsaved, or that we're saved living in an unsaved body. That makes sense. Our flesh is lost. It's gone. It's gone away back to the earth. God, that's when we die. Our bodies go to earth. We bury them, put them in the ground 6 feet under. But if we're saved, our spirit, our soul goes to heaven. And so we have the condition that exists. We have the conflict that emerges, and they're contrary one to another. And I'll go ahead and read here in Galatians 5, starting in verse 16. This I say then: walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lavishness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, sedition, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vain glory, provoking one another, envying one another. And so we can see that there's There's two things that we have to deal with, the flesh and the spirit, if we're saved, and that they're contrary one to another. That means they one desires something different than the other. And verse 17 says, "For the flesh lusteth against the spirit against the flesh." That means that both have two different routes in life. One goes one way, one goes the other way. One goes to hell, one goes to heaven, if we can put it that way. And so we see there's the two that we have to deal with. And as saved people, that's such a hard thing to do sometimes, is to realize that our flesh is still here when we're saved. Last week, when we did our verses, Galatians 2, verse 20, we memorized. And that was such a good verse. I memorized it a couple years ago. And it's just helping us to remember that it's not us, but it's God that lives in us. It's Christ that lives within us that makes us do what we want to do as far as the good versus the bad. And so our flesh is depraved because of its beginning. We think back in the Garden of Eden where we fell. We as a human race were all the same. So Adam and Eve start off, but if me and my wife were put in that situation, we would have fell just like Adam and Eve did. Brother Adam, you and your wife would have done, everybody here, you've done the same thing. Even though we can say, well, we would obviously have the knowledge, but we have the knowledge now looking back. But even though we have the knowledge today, how many times do we still fail at living the Christian life? You say, well, now we can see that Christ came and died 4,000 years later after that fact. But we look at it and say, well, we could have done better. But how many times do we have the truth today? We can read it, we hear it preached, we'll hear it this morning, tonight, but we still end up the same way. We still end up falling and failing every day. Even though we may not, quote, unquote, sin like normal people would on a daily basis, because we're saved people, we strive not to do that, but we do have that nature. It bounds us, the flesh bounds us in our bodies here, but we have a way to communicate with the Father, and I appreciate what Christ did on Calvary, so we have the ability to pray and everything. And so right here in Galatians 5, we're going to look at the desires of the flesh, the gratification of it, the liberation that the world kind of looks at as just being free. You've got to think back in the 1960s and 70s when you had the hippies. It was all just living freely and just doing what you want and just coexist and all that. And that's what the flesh wants. The flesh just wants to just do what it wants to do. But we as saved people, we know that that's different. But we have the war against the spirit. Our flesh constantly fights against the spirit, and spirit will fight against the flesh. And if I'll go ahead and you don't turn over there, but I'll read here in 1 Peter chapter 13. So yeah, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. It says, "Wherefore gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashion yourself according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, Be ye holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. Forasmuch as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead, and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth, through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently." Now here, verse 23, "being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever." Verse 24, "for all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as a flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endures forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you." So we can see that the flesh falls away, the flesh dies, but something that until it does, until we actually get home and glory, Brother Cole's not down here no more. He's in heaven. He's enjoying what he's been preaching for so many years, and he doesn't have to deal with the desires of the flesh and the deceitfulness of the flesh. But we see the delights of the flesh, the war against the spirit here throughout as we read. We see how in verse 20, 21, kind of the description of some of these sins and how many people wallow in their sins. And this is a description of today. I mean, you cannot say that this is not talking about today's age. Idolatry, witchcraft, even when I was in middle school back in, when was that middle school? Probably 2000, I think it was, 1999, 2000. People were doing witchcraft back then. Now, of course, they were younger. They didn't know what they were doing, but they were influenced by their siblings and by their parents and whoever they hung around with. So we're talking 15 years ago, people were doing these things that we're talking about here in a public fashion, in a public manner. The hatred, the variance, the emulations, the wrath, the strife, the sedition, the heresies. And so we can see continuously how man has continuously degraded itself. Continuously throughout the years. And so we can see that they wallow in their sin, they love it, and they walk contrary to the Spirit. Okay. When we come in here, we have a desire to serve the Lord. We come here this morning to have Sunday school and have preaching this morning, some singing. And so we have a desire to walk with the Spirit. Well, the world has a desire to walk contrary to the Spirit. They don't want nothing of God. And one reason they don't is because they willingly turn from it, or they haven't heard and they haven't seen the light. And so that's why it's poor for us to be faithful, to be witnesses in that aspect. But we underestimate the power of the flesh. Like I said, you know, we deal with the physical aspect of the flesh, the pains, but we underestimate what the flesh can do to our Christian life. And we look at Samson. If you know anything about Samson, very strong, but eventually what happened? Sin got a hold of him. He became morally blind, but then he became physically blind because of his sin when his eyes got poked out. We look at David. The Bible says about David, the only man that a man after God's own heart in 2 Samuel chapter 11. We can see how David dealt with the flesh and how he lost the fight thereof. We see how Solomon, we think of Solomon the wise, how the wisest man in the Bible, sin got a hold of. We see the flesh has brought the downfall of many of our companions, the very aspect of the Lord's service. We think about throughout the New Testament of these writers. They were men just like you and I, but they had a great calling on their life to preach the Word of God. But yet still, even though they had a great calling, they had that compassion, and they served the Lord, they still had to deal with the flesh just like you and I did today. Now, they didn't deal maybe in the same aspect that we deal with the media, that kind of everything is spread so quick and so fast nowadays. Back then, it was spread very slowly. But they still had to deal with tyrants and wicked rulers just like we would do, like we deal today. And then we see the flesh that recognize that it's deceitful. Philippians 3:3, have no confidence in the flesh. I know a lot of times we try to put confidence in ourselves that, yes, we can do it. We try to encourage maybe the kids and the young people, and encourage the adults and maybe people you work with. Yes, you can do this job. You just got to work hard at it. You know, you get to school, you get to college. You're like, yeah, you graduate college, you do it. But one thing that we forget is that if God's not with us, then why would we want to succeed in that? You know, if you go to college and you're not asking the Lord to help you to graduate and be a testimony for you, then what's the purpose of graduating college? It's just a piece of paper. I know a lot of people who graduate college get mad when I say that, but I've been to college. I mean, it's just a piece of paper when you graduate. I mean, a lot of times, yeah, they help you get a better job, but in the end, what does college do for you if you're not even using it to actually help with the ministry of the Lord? If you go to be a rocket scientist, you can still serve the Lord and be a rocket scientist. You could, you know, whatever you may do, but the thing is, do we actually use what the Lord has given us, the opportunities to serve Him, or do we allow our flesh to become in the mind of the world? And so we see in Romans 13:14, make no provisions for the flesh. We don't feed its passion. There's things that we do that we try to stay away from, but to not feed ourselves to serve the devil, in a sense, the ruler of this world, the god of this world, may I say. But we have a desire to stay away from all that, because if you look at verse 22 of Galatians 5, here it says, but for the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. So one, love, that's simple. Joy, we can be happy. Peace, what about long-suffering? That's, you know, dealing with family who's lost, dealing with other brethren, trying to not, get mad at the brethren and cause disturbances in church, and be long-suffering for the people that were witnessing to realize that we were in that same lost condition, that same lost state. But we see verse 23, meekness, temperance, against such there is no law. So when we see the preachers on television, some of these people that come out against the world, they give Christianity a bad name and a bad light because they come out in such an angry, negative spirit that it's not doing anything good. If you watch TV or anything, you see that a lot of things that they do is a negative light. It's not in the positive aspect. But we don't take a compromise. We take a stand against sin, but we also do it in the right way. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And that right there is a very hard thing to do sometimes because we don't even actively seek to actually do the right thing, I say. This morning, did we actually wake up this morning and pray? Did we read our Bible? Did we plan on actually being here? Or was it just like a last-minute decision? And so you see this morning when we have service, you know, are people going to show up here wanting to receive something from the preacher? Do they know that Brother John's not here? You know, and maybe they heard that you're going to come, Brother Carter, but they're like, oh, yeah, I'm going to go here and preach. Or maybe they say, since the pastor's not here, maybe I won't show up because they don't have that desire. That maybe since the pastor's not here, there must be no accountability. Well, it's not whether the pastor's here or the pastor's not here, and a visiting preacher's here, or if I'm here preaching. It's the fact that God can see everything we do. And so that's why we live in the Spirit continuously. Now, if we think about 1 Peter, what was it, 14, I read, it says, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance. That's what a lot of the world, they're in their state, they're in their fleshly state, because they are in the ignorance of it. But we, as Paul said, in times past, some of you were. He murdered people. He did certain things. But that was in times past. When he got saved, there was a different aspect. He walked in the Spirit. And so that's something we continuously do. If we live in the Spirit, let's also walk in the Spirit. How many times do we live in the Spirit but don't walk in the Spirit? We can carry tracts in our suit coat here. We can have them in our car. We can have them in our Bible. We can carry our Bible with us wherever we go. But do we actually, we may live in a spiritual way, but do we actually walk in that way? And that what that is saying is, do we do it halfway? Do we just meet the requirements? We get saved, and it's like we're on our way to heaven, so we just do part of the spiritual life, but do we actually fulfill the spiritual life by also walking in the Spirit? And that's what Jesus was trying to talk to Nicodemus about in John chapter 3. Nicodemus, he did one thing. He lived a spiritual life, but Nicodemus wasn't saved at the point because he didn't understand. He lived a religious aspect of life. He lived maybe what he was taught as a young person, and then being a ruler of the Jews, he lived in a certain way that was pleasing to the people around him, but he was still lost on his way to hell. And that's the fact that some of us live in the Spirit, and they live in a Christianity-type lifestyle, but do they truly walk in that lifestyle? And so there is a difference. So many people have the false salvation about them because they've turned away from their flesh and they've turned to the desires of God. Part of that is they turn from maybe they're drinking and they stopped drinking because they went to AA, and so now they show up at church every week. Well, just because you stop doing one thing and doing the other doesn't mean that you're saved. And just because you're saved doesn't mean you're doing the right thing. We have to constantly compare what we are doing with what the Bible tells us to do. As I read for the opening in Sunday school this morning, of how we're supposed to have an answer for things. And like I said, we don't get in the spiritual debate, but we need to be prepared to witness. I know, Brian, you talk to people all the time, and all they want to do is atheists. They want to argue with you about the existence. I had one guy telling me how the flood was one of the greatest myths that had ever been told in human history. And, you know, of course, I hadn't been able to sit down and talk to him further about it, but he's an atheist. And he prides himself on living after the flesh. And he prides himself on trying to tear down the Bible. I'm thinking, you can tear down the Bible all you want. It's still God's Word, no matter what you say about it. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to take a stand on it, and I'm going to try to give him some of the light of the Bible and just witness to him and do what we're supposed to do. And so we can see there's a choice we must make when we live in our lives to turn away from the flesh, to live in the spiritual life. Do we live in a corruption state of mind, or do we live and trying to serve the Lord. We can't help but be corrupted because our flesh, but the Spirit dwells within us to allow us. But just because we're saved, we have the Spirit, doesn't mean we're being filled. And I've said in Sunday school, I said, we're sealed, but doesn't mean you're filled. So when Jubilee comes up in about, what, a week or two weeks, are we actually coming here expecting the Lord to move, expecting to be regenerated? Do we expect to have an overfilling of the Spirit instead of just being saved? Are we expecting the Lord to show up and actually do something in our lives? And so as we live each and every day, we wake up this week especially, and next week, we, you know, say 2 weeks for Jubilee or whatever, are we going to actually wake up in the mornings and start our day off in spiritual light and trying to ready ourselves for Jubilee? Are we going to ready ourselves to even though Jubilee, say we don't even have Jubilee, are we going to ready ourselves for Sunday school? Are we going to prepare ourselves for the preaching? Are we prepare ourselves for the singing? You know, why do we get up and sing? Why do we have choir? Why do we have congregation? It's to give everybody an opportunity to worship the Lord through song, right? We have music, but the most important thing is that we sing, and that we sing the right songs. And so we try to live in the Spirit, and we also try to walk in the Spirit. And then verse 26, let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. And so we shouldn't tear each other down as a church. I've said that before. You've heard it before. It's, I would say, just common sense. Those who've been raised in church, you know, not to do that thing, tearing down and having envy and strife with each other. So that was Sunday school this morning. We talked about the flesh, the desires of it. And I appreciate everybody showing up here this morning. I know I got done a few minutes early, but we'll get some water before I leave the singing this morning. A little dry. And we'll go ahead and be dismissed. Brother Mike, would you pray dismissed for Sunday school?